Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 10th day of May, 2022. And I'm excited to have back on the program one of my favorite guests. His name will be no stranger to our listeners, Virgil Walker, Executive Director of Operations at G3 Ministries. And he's co-host with Daryl Bernard Harrison of the Just Thinking Podcast, and co-author of a new book with Daryl Bernard Harrison titled, Why Are You Afraid? Today we're going to be addressing the new lows of leftist protester views viewed through biblical lenses. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Virgil Walker.
Hey, brother. It's a joy to be with you and with your listeners. And, man, I'm always excited to get a chance to talk to you, whatever the topic is, wherever we're looking to aim the lens of a biblical worldview. So glad to be with you. Glad to join you. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, let our listeners know about G3 Ministries. And also, I'm very excited to be attending, once again, the G3 Conference. This will actually be, even though I've been at, I believe, at least five G3 conferences, I've never been to one of the regional conferences. And I'm excited to be there coming up in September in Washington, D.C. But first, tell us about G3 Ministries.
Yeah, G3 Ministries is a ministry that really aims to educate, encourage, and equip local churches for the glory of God. And we do so in a number of ways. One, which you just mentioned, is our conferences. G3 started as a conference-based ministry, the national G3 conference is something that people have come to enjoy over the course of the years. I got involved in about 2017 with G3 and attending their national conferences, and they've just grown exponentially over the course of years. This is a ministry that started in 2012, and Dr. Josh Bice is the founder and president, and he just wanted to have a theology conference at a local church. Began to do so, and unbeknownst to him, the excitement and enthusiasm around sound biblical exposition and preaching, sound doctrine and theology was so enormous that this you know, once local church-based conference, if you will, began to explode to the point where they had to take it off-site from that local church and into where some of the convention centers around the Atlanta area. And so it's, again, I showed up. I watched it online for years from where I sat, and then was able to attend my first conference in 2017. And so it's just gone from, about 3,000 and about in 2017 to where we were this last year at the convention center here in Georgia, the Georgia World Congress Center, where we hosted somewhere in the neighborhood of about 6,500 people from around the world. We had every speaker that you can imagine or that you would like to hear, everybody from Dr. Steve Lawson to Vodi Bakum to John MacArthur. Of course, Josh Bice was there. You name it, we had it. And it's come to be something that people think of during the course of the years as something they want to mark down. It's kind of become what some refer to as SheepCon. You have ShepCon there in California with Dr. John MacArthur, and so SheepCon. This is not just for pastors; it's for the whole family. So you'll see the whole family come out to a G3 event and really enjoy the experience. And so that's a little bit about G3. We are transitioning. I'll simply say this. We are transitioning from a conference-based ministry solely to one that provides resources to local churches. I was a education and discipleship pastor there in Omaha, Nebraska for years. I would show up to these conferences in an effort to gather information, connect with brothers from around the country, and really grow there at my local church. Well, what we've decided to do over the course of some time is we wanted to develop resources that could be of benefit to local church pastors where they are. We've brought on, not only have I been able to join the team as Executive Director of Operations, we also have Dr. Scott Annual, who has come over. He was a seminary professor for years at Southwestern. He's come on. He's now the Executive Vice President and Editor-in-Chief there at G3, and he is just churning out great materials for discipleship, family discipleship, education and the like for local churches all over. We're developing the G3 Church Network, which is a network of churches that connect with us and are encouraged on a monthly basis. There's just so many things. I could go on and on. There's so many things that are happening right now at G3, and it's just become ground zero as a one-stop shop for local church pastors and the like.
Amen. Well, I'm excited to be attending, as I already mentioned, your upcoming regional conference in Washington, D.C., September 15th through the 17th. And you've got an excellent lineup there as well. You have Steve Lawson. You have Josh Bice. You have my dear friend of many years, going back to 1996, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And, of course, you've got you and Daryl Bernard Harrison of the Just Thinking podcast. And the theme is going to be Just Thinking the Bible. Now, that's a very broad topic in and of itself. What are you going to be specifically highlighting on the Bible?
Yeah, I appreciate that. The regional conferences, let me start by telling you, the regional conferences are something that we really aimed to put in places and spaces that didn't have as much gospel light. We normally think of the South as the buckle of the Bible Belt, maybe Atlanta being a part of that as well. It's just a lot of Southern churches, a lot of able to connect with folks. So we wanted to look for an area in the country where we felt like, you know, there may be some missing pieces of the puzzle, and we were excited to lock arms with a church there in Virginia, Emmanuel Bible Church there. So we'll be on that site primarily, but also connecting our folks who attend the conference to the Bible Museum. So they'll have an opportunity to engage there. G3 was kind-hearted enough to connect with Dal and me on the Just Thinking side. And as a part of that, we kind of co-branded this with G3 and with Just Thinking, the Just Thinking podcast, with the idea that since we were going to be there near the Museum of the Bible, it would be important for us to talk about an issue that really covers the ground, if you will, on so many different areas, which is the issue is the sufficiency of Scripture. Everywhere we turn, the Bible sufficiency is being challenged. You have the Southern Baptist Convention who believes that, you know, that there may be a need for us to add on, you know, additional analytical tools like CRT in an effort to understand the real nature of racism and the like. And when, as we look around the landscape of culture, we're seeing this in whether it's Presbyterian churches, whether it's Episcopal churches. You look anywhere around mainline Christianity, evangelical circles as well, you'll see an attack on Scripture's sufficiency. Most will give lip service to, yeah, I believe the Bible's inerrant. Most will do that. Few will really understand what it means that the Bible is sufficient. So we've got some great men who are going to be a part of this conference that folks will not want to miss. I can guarantee you we're going to be talking about biblical sufficiency and applying it to the different areas of culture.
Well, praise God. And once again, folks, and I will be, God willing, repeating this later on, but the conference is September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. And for more details on registering, go to g3min.org, g3min.org, and click on events. And you will see Just Thinking About the Bible, the conference in D.C., September 15th, 17th. I'm very excited about being there. And I haven't been to D.C. in many, many years, so that's an extra added excitement for me. In fact, I don't even think I've been to Washington, D.C. since I was in grammar school. But
It's interesting, Chris, thinking about going there. In fact, as we began kind of putting this together, we were assessing kind of, you know, where things were politically with regard to mask mandates and vaccine, you know, things that were required. We were fortunate that we were on the tail end of all of that, so none of that kind of thing at this point is required. We definitely checked with the folks at the Museum of the Bible to investigate where they were with all of that, and so all of that's free and clear. So folks are going to be able to really come and enjoy just a special time. And again, as if you haven't been a part of the regional conferences, the goal of that is kind of to put you in the mindset of maybe what you experienced, Chris, when you first started coming. I know you've been with G3, the conference, for quite some time, probably going back to the days when they were at Praise Mill. And so it's more that smaller, intimate setting, the opportunity to really connect with people, have access to speakers and the like. It's going to be a real, real great opportunity.
Well, another thing I'm excited about is you and Daryl have co-authored another book, and this one's titled, Why Are You Afraid? That is a very compelling title. Tell us about that.
Well, we again, as you know, we're looking around, and we're going to be talking about this some today, just the atmosphere of fear that seems to surround every decision, every issue, whether it's a political issue, whether it's an economic issue. At the time that when we were writing this, people were wrestling with whether or not they were going to maintain their jobs because they were being required to take vaccines, right? And in order to maintain a job. So with all of that, there was just the uncertainty, the fear that was taking place. But again, none of that has abated, right? We've just witnessed, economic costs for inflation rising. In fact, I was just reading a report today that baby formula is actually, you know, not available in as great quantities as it had been. So with all of the ideas about fear and what we're seeing in culture and how everything seems to be pushing us in that direction, I think Daryl and I sat down and thought it would be really wise and prudent of us to write something, put something together. And again, this was based upon a podcast that we had done about the same topic with the same title, Why Are You Afraid? And we really wanted to settle for the Christian, for the believer, the issue of fear, and that we are to fear the Lord, and that as we do that, all the other things that we're concerned about will align themselves as we understand God's sovereignty in all things, His providence in all things, and really begin to have a biblical worldview as it relates to what culture is trying to do related to fear.
Now, is this the first publication of G3 Press? Because I knew you guys were launching G3 Press, but I had never actually seen a book cover yet until I'm looking right now at your book, Why Are You Afraid?
Yeah, this was the first opportunity for us to be published by G3 Press. We were extremely excited. Again, this partnership is pretty deep for us on the Just Thinking side, Daryl and me, and then with Josh Bice and with the team, just kind of began to just kind of co-labor, think, how can we leverage opportunities with us? There's some other connection points. There's some other ways in which we've partnered. But this was one of the first forays that really took hold. We felt like it would be a good first launch. And so far, it's proven to have done incredibly well. We're always wanting to get it into the hands of as many people as possible. But, G3 Press just launched. They've got a number of books already that are out on the press. So if you can, you know, if you're interested in learning more, go to g3men.org and just kind of look up the press, or you can go to our store, g3men.org/shop. You can go to our shop and see all of the books that are there and the other things that are available, the resources that are there as well. If you go to the website, there's a number of different things that you can download for free. Again, I could talk about this endlessly because there's so many great things that are happening in the press, having a press. Being able to publish works is something that we're extremely excited about, and Daryl and I are really excited about launching the first book with G3 Press.
Well, praise God, and I'd love to have you and Daryl on the show together soon to address the very theme of that book.
Absolutely, we'd be delighted to.
Well, one of the things people are afraid about right now is or are the new lows of leftist protesters. It is really discouraging, to say the least. It's sickening because not only are there violent protesting going on, and protests have been going on as ever since this country began, and many of them for very good and noble and right reasons. But here you have protesters, leftist protesters, actually going to the homes of Supreme Court justices and being very threatening and ominousing. And the thing that makes it all doubly more disturbing is the fact that you have the President of the United States and many very high up executives and authority, Nancy Pelosi and others, giving their blessing to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's absolutely astonishing to see this. I mean, I don't know why it's astonishing, because it's very expected of these people. But in light of the fact that what occurred at January 6th has been called an insurrection by them, and people are still in jail who very peacefully protested. They were guilty of trespassing. They were guilty of breaking and entering, but nothing of violence by them occurred, other than the fact that a police officer shot one of the protesters. In fact, the only one that died in that whole scenario was a conservative woman who happened to be one of the protesters. And there were at least one police officer died of natural causes. It was not because of a violent attack or anything. But if you could tell us, how are we to look at all this through biblical lenses?
I think to really begin, you actually have to go back to what created all of this to begin with, and it was the fact that we had a decision on the Supreme Court regarding Roe v. Wade, and as the draft of that decision made its rounds in the Supreme Court, that information was leaked, right? And so it really begins. This whole issue related to Roe v. Wade starts there. And then the response to that, right? The response to that wasn't, we're gonna, you know, take every turn, investigate, and really identify where this leak took place and how it undermines the authority of the Supreme Court and what takes place in those, you know, in the halls of justice at the court, at the Supreme Court level. There was really little by way of lip service. In fact, if you watched what was taking place in news outlets, what they were doing was kind of, they were actually congratulating the person who leaked this. You know, this was good for us to know so that we can prepare in advance to see this thing overturned, since it hadn't come to the point of a final decision. So that's kind of what you began seeing, and that kind of set the tenor for what was to take place next, which was that the next phase of this was to watch actors. And I say that because when you have folks who are sworn to uphold the law, folks that are in Congress who are supposed to carry themselves with a certain level of dignity, what you had was a lot of them were taking to Twitter, were taking to Instagram, were taking to, you know, social media outlets in an effort to express their anger, their outrage, and the like. And so they were given the signals to others that they were free to go about and protest. And let me say this, you mentioned it at the outset of your commentary, which is, you know, our country is kind of built on protest, right? On the idea of voicing your opinion, making your voice heard and known. But there are grounds by which that's to happen and not to take place. And so what we're witnessing now is protest in an effort to change a decision or to change the mind of the court. And that's problematic. All of this is in an effort to thwart God. And so that's where we get to the biblical worldview on this piece, right? The issue of Roe v. Wade, the idea of trying to cement or codify into law that which God has called life, that which God has called murder, that which God has deemed is an image bearer of God, created in His image and likeness, worthy of value, dignity, and worth, whose life should not be taken. And then you have another group, another organization, another group of people who are advocating that which God opposes. And so really at the end of the day, we need to look at what's taking place through that lens, and then we've got to go back to the law of the land. So there's two facets to this. One is the issue of sin, right, with the murder of a baby, and then the other is the legality aspect, the criminal aspect of the law that needs to be looked at a state, federal, and local level. Those are the two pieces of the puzzle.
Yes, and the thing that is also extremely disturbing about the modern day abortion so-called rights activists and those seeking abortions. Most of my life, where I was old enough to be aware in any detail at all about abortion and what was taking so long, especially after I became a Christian, the claim of the left used to be, for a very long time, no one can really say for certain when life begins. That used to be the rhetoric. We don't really know this is a human. We don't know this is a baby, et cetera, et cetera. But according to people I know on the front lines, like Jeff Durbin of Apologia Church, who is very actively involved right in the trenches at abortion clinics at Planned Parenthood, at infanticide mills, as I think they should be more appropriately called. And he has been used by God, he and his church and those who volunteer have been used by God to rescue hundreds of babies from slaughter. But the thing that he told me a couple of years ago that really astonished me was that he said every single woman that he has stopped and spoken with as she was approaching the Planned Parenthood about to murder her unborn child. These women, he said, every one of them, and he must have spoken to thousands by now, he said every one of them knew that they were killing a baby. Yeah. There was no excuse about a blob of cells.
Right.
That makes it more disturbingly sinister. And you have an obvious open profession and declaration that the murderers are very, very aware that they are murdering.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I will tell you this. It was men like Jeff Durbin, men like Tony Miano, and you know, people like that who were out on the front lines. In fact, here at my own church, here at Praise Mill, Bobby McCreary, all are men who've gone out and been on the front lines at abortion mills. It was actually a video that I watched almost 8 years ago, probably 9 years ago now, of Tony Miano at an abortion mill that encouraged me to go and do the same kind of thing. So there I was in Omaha, Nebraska, for about 5 years while I was there at the abortion mill regularly, and I can very effectively tell you that the vast majority of those girls who were going in knew and made us aware in no uncertain terms that they knew they were killing a baby. They absolutely knew. They absolutely desired to go through that procedural process. The only people that I run into that are trying to play the clump of cells with the types of arguments are those who are trying to sway public opinion or wanting to sound softer to those that they recognize if they're as blatant and as open as they need to be on this issue, that it would sound offensive, that it would sound horrific. And the reason it sounds that way is because it absolutely is horrific. And so it's better for them to couch it in, no, it's really not a baby. This is no different than the arguments that were given for slavery, right? What they did in those times, that blacks weren't really human beings, right? They weren't like us. They were some different form of human or subhuman, at least, in an effort to advocate doing all kinds of inhumane things to slaves. And so the same kind of argumentation, same kind of ideas here. But I completely agree with you. That those men like that were out doing that kind of frontline work have served to inspire, you know, many, many more. I was definitely one of those who saw their work and was inspired as I understood the issue of life as a believer and the need to advocate for those who can't speak for themselves. I was definitely there for years at the abortion mill.
And of course, you even have the murder of the unborn now being added by the murder of the born. You have, and that's been going on for quite a while. It was going on even when Barack Obama was a senator in Illinois, and I don't even know how much farther before him, where babies who were, quote, accidentally delivered alive during an attempt at aborting them were merely put in a box and put in a storage closet and just left to die of natural causes, quote. Utterly grotesque and just so reminiscing of Nazi Germany. I mean, it's just, it's vile. And, you know, it's very difficult for Christians very often to keep their cool about this because of the intensity of how it is. What kind of counsel do you have as we as Christians are interacting with people who are in favor of abortion? And, you know, you don't want to lose your head and you don't want to be involved in a shouting match, but at the same time, you don't want to be just calm, cool, and collected to the point where your differences of opinion with a pro-infanticide individual may seem like you're having a discussion over your differences on eschatology or something.
I mean, right. I think the environment really plays a big deal. And what I mean by that is simply if I'm at an abortion clinic, the conversation is going to sound very different between me and someone who's abortion-minded at the clinic, right? That's going to be very different than what it may sound like over a dinner table conversation, where maybe relatives have come over for the holiday, and the subject of Roe v. Wade comes up, and we're talking about it and interacting with one another. So that's the biggest. I think there's a difference there. At the same time, what I'm going to share in those spaces and places, I think there's an aspect of it that needs to be very matter of fact, because we need to recognize the truths that we share from the Word of God aren't our truths, right? They're true whether we believe them or not. They're God's truth, and we're but ambassadors of that truth. And so as ambassadors, I think there's a responsibility that we have to conduct ourselves in a way that's befitting someone who is indeed an ambassador for a kingdom. And so we've got to be mindful of that. Secondarily, I think it's critical that we engage the conversation to the degree that we can around the gospel. Because anyone who does not understand or have a biblical worldview, or B, their hearts and minds have been transformed by the gospel, are going to even understand what we're talking about when we say that a human being is created in God's image, has distinct value, dignity, and worth. They're not going to comprehend, understand. They may give, you know, a nod to that, but in their worldview, none of that makes sense. And so I think, you know, we've got to think about those things. And there are times when, you know, I was listening to, in fact, Paul Washer today was talking about sometimes it's important for us when we're engaged in evangelism, rather than going at people, be willing to pray for them. There are times when maybe the conversation needs to be tailored off or tapered off, especially if you feel yourself getting emotional or emotive about it to the degree that you're going to lose your cool, it's imperative that we step back and pray. My wife always reminds me that prayer is not the least we can do. Prayer is the first thing that we should do. And so being prayerful about those folks who are just blind, have no clear understanding of a biblical worldview, is incredibly, incredibly important. But gospel conversation is paramount, even at the abortion mill. You know, I know that there are some pro-life folks who say, hey, don't bring that gospel to the door of the abortion clinic. And there's no way for me not to do that. That's got to be the case. We have to engage, with the gospel, because it really starts there. We're going to offer all the free this, free that, free the other, but we also have to let people know that they can be free from their sin as well, and that only takes place through repenting of sin and placing faith in Jesus Christ.
Wow, I didn't even know that there were pro-life individuals who would rebuke Christian pro-life folks for bringing the gospel to the situation.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely there are. Those conversations are numerous and frequent when you're out there. You know, hey, if you could tap down the gospel presentation, just focus on getting this young lady to safe place and safe this and safe that. And my response is always, we're happy to provide all of those safe things, but they need to know that they're coming to an abortion clinic more times than not for the purpose of hiding sin, right? The baby is not the sin, but the issue of you know, having slept around, having been promiscuous, having had this baby more times than not outside of wedlock, they're trying to cover something, and we want them to know that the cover that they're looking for can only be found in Jesus Christ by first repenting of sin and placing faith in Him. And so those kinds of things are just as important as all the other aspects of engaging a young lady at an abortion mill.
Well, we have to go to our first break. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question for Virgil Walker, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And we'll be right back right after these messages, so don't go.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. 1-800-273-1111. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Thank you. If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnton is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Welcome back. If you just tuned us in, our guest today for the entire program is Virgil Walker. He is well known to our listeners as one of the co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast, along with Daryl Bernard Harrison. He is also executive director of operations at G3 Ministries and co-author of a new book, along with Daryl Bernard Harrison, Why Are You Afraid? Today we are addressing the new lows of leftist protesters viewed through biblical lenses. And if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. We do have a listener who is not only a faithful and loyal listener to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and a very generous contributor financially to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, but he's also a very frequent and faithful attender to the G3 conferences. In fact, you may even recognize this name yourself. It's Grady from Asheboro, North Carolina. And Grady asks, Brother Virgil, please correct me if I'm wrong, but from my viewpoint, abortion for those having them, let me reread this. I'm getting the wording a little bit awkward. Correct me if I'm wrong, but from my point of view, abortion for those having them seems to be from selfish desires, not wanting the responsibility of raising a child. However, those in authority seem to be motivated by the amount of monetary gain. Look at the amount of dollars our government has given to the abortion industry. Do you agree with this assessment?
I think it's a sound one. I really do. I think most women who make decisions to have abortion, the vast majority of them, are willing to sacrifice their child on the altar of convenience. It's inconvenient for them to have a child. It's inconvenient, financially, economically, in other words. In fact, I was looking at some statistics today that said the vast majority of those who have abortion actually make more than $30,000 to $40,000 a year. So this idea that only the impoverished, only those who don't have money, who don't have resources, who lack education are the ones getting abortions is not an accurate assessment. Most of these people know, most of these ladies know what they're doing. They've made a conscious decision to sacrifice their child on the altar of convenience. And they do so in some instances very proudly. I mean, you were witnessing that this week if you were watching the news where folks would get on microphones and shout their abortion out and those kinds of ideas behind something so vile, wicked, and evil should never really be taking place. From a standpoint of government, really the issue is even deeper than you would suggest with regard to money. This is a religion. Abortion is religion to those who advocate it. For those who are advocating this, abortion is a sacrament, right? It's a spiritual right that they have as women. It's an effort for them to not have to be entrapped, as they see it, by the patriarchy, and not have to, you know, raise children that they can have be sexually promiscuous without any kind of recourse, without any kind of consequence, and can go on about their lives in the same way that they see men doing. Right? Both are wrong. To have sex outside of marriage is wrong. It's sinful. But what they're wanting to do is, again, they're wanting to ignore God, what thus saith the Lord, do what they want to do and operate in the manner in which they do. And as they do that, they only heap one sin on top of the other, the fornication, the abortion. And apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, apart from repenting of that ideology and way of thinking, and repenting of sin and placing their full faith in Christ, they'll have to give an account. At the end of their days, they'll have to give an account to a holy God who will see things rightly in that day.
Amen. Well, thank you, Grady. And guess what? You have won a free copy of Why Are You Afraid? So make sure that you give us your full mailing address in Asheboro, North Carolina. And I'm hoping to see you at the G3 Regional Conference coming up in September.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We do have another listener. We have RJ in White Plains, New York. And RJ says, I know that you and Daryl appear to be opposed to the leftist infatuation with race and the highlighting of race and making race such a matter of distinction between persons. But I was wondering, are those in error who are excited about bringing the Reformed faith to the Black community, where it is in such a tiny minority, even more of a minority than it is in the white community? Is this an improper focus, wanting to see our dear Black neighbors in the community come to the Reformed faith? Obviously, know that evangelizing Christianity is the much more important aspect, no matter what color individuals are. But how do you feel about those who are really targeting the Black community and wanting them to come to see and understand the doctrines of sovereign grace?
Yeah, no, there's a fine line with that. There's an edge of the line that you want to be careful not to cross on that, and that is the assumption that all Blacks are monolithic in their thought. In other words, all of them are engaged in prosperity preaching, and that's all they know, right? Or all of them are engaged in Pentecostalism or the Word of Faith, and so they've got to hear Reformed theology. And so we're gonna if that's the mindset, I think that's problematic. I think the better heartbeat behind it, and I sense that is where the person asking the question is going. The better heartbeat around that is this, is that you want to make sure that everyone, irrespective of ethnicity, has the opportunity to hear the truth of the gospel, to hear it proclaimed with crystal clarity, to be involved in expositional preaching that is sound, that is robust, that includes doctrines of grace, that allows folks to understand the sovereignty of God and the monergistic effort of salvation on the part of God alone, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. And those kinds of things are important, and there's nothing wrong with being excited to see a people group come into that knowledge. I think when we begin to say, okay, we're going to go target these folks, these Black folks, and here's what we need to do. We've got to contextualize the message in an effort to reach them, You know, we want to sound a certain way and look a certain way, which is unfortunately plagued so much of evangelicalism, the pragmatic approaches, the contextualization of not just the text of scripture, but the whole manner in which we share the gospel.
Oh, you mean like white Democrats typically do in black churches?
Absolutely.
As we all saw Hillary Clinton's attempt, and who sounded more like an Appalachian white woman than the black voice that she was trying to imitate.
It's not only the condescending, it's absolutely embarrassing. What those kinds of things say to me is that you're more racist than you're trying to put on, because you think that you have to carry a sound or draw, or you have to hoop, or you have to, you know, just be you and love people and share the truth of the gospel. Those kinds of things are problematic. So again, I mentioned, there's a line by which we want to be excited when we see any people group, regardless of the color of their skin, the level of melanin in their skin. We want to be excited when we see anyone come to a saving knowledge of Christ or a greater understanding of Bible truths. But we want to do so in a way that doesn't solely point to their ethnicity as the goal of the message. So,
and of course, just like everything else, that kind of nonsense is not only found amongst white folk. My dear friend, who is now in heaven, Dr. Robert J. Cameron, who was a black Orthodox Presbyterian pastor in New Jersey, and before that he was in the PCA. And before that, he was in the Reformed Episcopal Church. But he told me that he couldn't even count the number of times that black folks would visit his church. And then afterwards, when he was greeting them at the door as people were leaving, how many times a black couple or a person would say, "You know, we agreed with everything you said, but you just don't preach black enough. So we really doubt we're going to be returning. So sorry about that."
You see that the other way. And at the end of the day, truth knows no color, right? Truth does not care about the color of your skin. The proper exposition of scripture, the understanding of Bible truths, sound theology, is not concerned with the level of melanin in someone's skin. And so I remember when someone introduced me to R.C. Sproul's book, What is Reformed Theology? I didn't care whether the guy who, I didn't know what the color of skin the person who wrote the book was. I had no idea. All I did was I read it and God showed me the truths based upon scripture. And, that's all that mattered to me. And so I didn't care what he sounded like, or did he hoop right on Sunday morning, or did he preach like a, you know, have a drawl, or breathlessly express, a scripture. I didn't care about any of that. All I cared about was God had illuminated my mind to the beauty and glory of salvation, and that it had nothing to do with me. The only thing I had to add to that was the sin that required the sacrifice of his son. And so when I understood that to the degree that I did through that book, it was like a whole new way for me. It was like a cloudy sky had gotten bright and clear with the brightness of the sun. I mean, that was how it was for me. And my encouragement would be, go share that truth irrespective of ethnicity. Go share the beauty of Christ and make that central.
Well, folks, we've got to go to our midway break. Please be patient with us, because it's a bit longer than the other breaks. It's required to be longer by Grace Life Radio in Lake City, Florida, because they have to localize this program to the Lake City, Florida area geographically with their own public service announcements, and that's a requirement of the FCC. And while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. Please try to respond to our advertisers as much as you can, and at the very least, thank them for sponsoring this program. Don't go away. We're going to be right back, right after these messages from our sponsors. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. The boys are back in town, the boys are back in town. The boys are
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Bice, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Why can't we see God?
How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thank you.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how He shall be worshipped and how He shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908 908- 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And never forget, folks, to make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs. With Father's Day coming up and wedding anniversaries and wedding celebrations and baptism celebrations and birthdays, condolence gifts that you give to those whom you love who lost a loved one, graduation gifts, any kind of an event that compels you to purchase a gift, we would urge you first and foremost to go to solid-ground-books.com and purchase gifts that truly have eternal significance. And always remember to mention that you heard about them from Chris Aronson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to my interview with Virgil Walker, who is one half, along with Daryl Bernard Harrison, of the Just Thinking podcast, and he is also Executive Director of Operations for G3 Ministries. Before we return to our topic, I just have a couple of more announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show, you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, mailing in a physical check the old-fashioned way, well, there will be a physical address that also appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Please remember, as much as I love receiving money from my listeners, I want you to never take money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you are a member, if it is a Bible-believing church, in order to give us a gift. Please never do that. One of the pillars of this program, one of the motivations and very reasons I launched this program, was to be a friend, a helping hand, a platform, and an extension of the faithful local pastor and the faithful local church. I never want to do anything that harms or hinders the work of the faithful local pastor and church, even financially. So please don't give your own church less money in order to give us a... Also, if you are really struggling to survive, please don't plunge your family into even further financial peril just because you're giving us a gift for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God, providing for church and family. Providing for my radio show is obviously not a command of God, but if you do love this show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to provide for your church and your family, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, and donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, doctrinally solid, theologically sound congregation, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church that is a Christ-honoring and biblically faithful church. I've helped many people in my audience all over the world find churches in Australia, in Africa, all 50 states of the United States, and many other places globally. I've helped people find churches, and I may be able to help you find a church too that's biblically faithful, and sometimes even within minutes of your own home. So if you are in that predicament, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Virgil Walker on our theme, "The New Lows of Leftist Protesters Viewed Through Biblical Lenses." That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. And don't we have to always remind ourselves, if we want to be ambassadors for Christ in this very evil world, that we have to remind ourselves that it is not only a battlefield that we are on, but it's also a mission field. And that souls far more wicked than ones we are confronting have been brought to Christ by his mercy. Are you there?
Yes, can you hear it?
Yeah, now I can.
Good. Well, there's a couple of things, man, as you kind of came out of announcements. I will tell you, that's probably one of the best pleas that I've heard for giving, and just sound in the way that you delivered that, encouraging folks to give, but also to make sure that they're not ignoring the local church. And man, you've been such a friend, not only to me, to Daryl, but to so many. I know to G3 and the G3 family, what a blessing you've been. We're honored anytime that you're able to come join us, and we're looking forward to connecting with you in September, man. And
me too.
There in Washington, D.C., yeah.
But as far as the question I asked, when we find ourselves getting furious, And we are filled, and rightfully so, with righteous indignation. Yeah. Don't we have to keep reminding ourselves that we're not only on a battlefield, but we're also on a mission field? Don't we have to constantly remind ourselves that we may be facing in a confrontation somebody that we are viewing as vile and satanic, and they may indeed be, but they also may be a person for whom Christ died. And I say it like that because I believe in limited atonement or definite atonement. I don't believe Christ died for every single human being that ever lived, but we don't know who the elect are unless they have already become born again and they are regenerate and they're bearing fruit of that. But when we are facing either an evil mob or an evil individual, instead of being just stirred up with anger, we have to remind ourselves that this soul may be saved, may be rescued from the pit of hell.
Yeah. I think, one, that's spot on. I love what you shared about the just kind of separating those ideas that where we are doing battle, we are in a cultural fight, a cultural war, if you will. At the end of the day, winning that war only lends itself to moralism, right? People are acting better, doing better, living by the Ten Commandments, but that only goes so far. One, they're never able to fulfill the law. We know that, right? If we were able to fulfill the law, Christ would have had to come. But two, I have to remember and remind myself that were it not for the grace of God, there go I, right? One of the things that is helpful from a standpoint of understanding doctrines of grace, you mentioned limited atonement, understanding our total depravity, understanding our own wicked evilness, right? And it's the Puritans who do such a great job at if you ever get an opportunity, for those who have a chance to read the Puritans, their devotion to the Lord, the seriousness by which they thought about sin and their own sinfulness, the prayers that they prayed as a result of repentance. Those things are very real and incredibly helpful to remind us that apart from Christ, that's me. And so oftentimes whether it was an abortion mill or whether it's an issue that I'm having a political debate, an interaction about something sinful, maybe someone's embraced an area of sin in their lives, I constantly remind myself that, man, that's me. I remember when the whole George Floyd thing happened. I remember having interview conversations where I told people that the public narrative was such that if you were black, you had to identify with George Floyd, or if you were a sympathizer to the cause, you identified with George Floyd as a victim, and out of that victimhood, there were some things that those who didn't look like you needed to be responsible for. No one would identify themselves with the police officer, Derek Chauvin. And so I remember being on radio broadcasts where I said, you know what? I see myself in both men, not as a victim per se, but as someone has done something wrong to. Someone has wronged me, and I've experienced that. But I've also been the perpetrator of wrong, right? I've been the guy who hated my brother. Scripture tells us if we hate our brother, we're as a murderer. And so having that hatred in your heart, I could see myself as an image bearer of God in both of those men in their own sinful conditions, which is all the more reason why my appeal is not to man, not to a group, not to a race, not to an ethnicity, but to a sovereign God who can ransom me, who can redeem me, who can save me from the muck and mire. But once saved, once cleansed, once justified, once made right with a true and living God, I don't forget that it was not my goodness that got me there. It was all him and none of me. And so those kinds of things are important for us to remember as we engage in these kinds of conversations.
Amen. We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who asks, have you ever had your life threatened because of your stances against the social justice warrior movement, critical race theory, or anything under that umbrella, because of the fact that in the media, you and Daryl are rare voices from the black community?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question, so thanks so much for that. I try not to talk much about the kinds of threats that we get, the kinds of folks who say things about us, and only because I recognize two things. One, that they're minor compared to what others have dealt with, those who maybe fought for civil rights or some other thing, and what they endured as a result of standing on truths that they believe to hold dear. Mine is mainly keyboard warriors, right? These guys who get on the internet and want to engage us or send us hateful emails or look through my personal data and information and post that somewhere in an effort to embarrass me in some kind of way, shape, or form. So those kinds of things do happen. They happen often, but again, Daryl and I have been party to those kinds of things for such a long time, long before social justice was an issue, that we just, those kinds of things don't really bother us. And I don't get concerned. The thing that I'm concerned with is, am I standing on the truth of the word? Am I rightly dividing scripture? Am I saying things in a way that would honor God as an ambassador of the cross?
Well, thank you, Susan Margaret. You've also won a free copy of Why Are You Afraid? So please make sure you give us your full mailing address in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. We have CJ from Lindenhurst, Long Island, New York, who says, what do you think the attraction to critical race theory and all of the heresies affiliated with it are to reformed people and churches? That is utterly amazing to me, and I can't figure it out.
Yeah. I appreciate the question, and it is something. I mean, while I'm in no way able to examine the heart of every person and understand their motivation, in a general sense, you think about the issue of justice. I think one of the things that progressives and leftists are so good at is that they're able to capture language and then leverage it to push forward a cause. Black Lives Matter. Well, on its face, those words put together in that framework seem innocuous. Yeah, sure, Black Lives Matter. It isn't until you begin to peel back the layers of what that means, of the Marxist origins of that, of the desire of the folks who put together the movement, to that their desire to really destroy the nuclear family, that you begin to see, oh, the ideology is flawed, and here's why. But they've leveraged language in such a way that it's difficult to say, well, I don't agree with that. If you don't, you've got to have a backbone and have an explanation, right? Yeah, because Black Lives Matter in so much as, or only in regard to, the fact that all of us as human beings, as image bearers of God, matter. Critical race theory, social justice, who's not for justice? Everyone wants to be for justice. And so it feels good. It feels right. There's a sense of self-righteousness that aligns itself backed by a historic narrative of oppression and racism and those kinds of things. The history can't be denied, right? So it's with that they leverage, based upon, again, we don't even have time to explain the experiment of education in our country that has lent itself to these leftist ideas. But those kinds of things, the proper language, the fact that no one should, everyone's for justice, you put the idea of social justice attached to it, then the thought is, yeah, I'd be for that. Why not? The pragmatic approach that we've taken in every area of church, of worship and the like, that's problematic. The sentimentalism that has invaded our church system, Daryl and I have talked at great length about all of those pieces of the puzzle lend themselves to seeing even solidly reformed people adopt the political narrative, right, that's out there that blacks are somehow it's the highest form of white supremacy, that black, the idea that blacks are so a victim of a system. I want to shake those who believe that or hold to that, especially in reform circles, and say, well, don't they believe in a God who's able to overcome? Don't they believe? I mean, where do we come up with the idea that the only one that can save them is our sensitive white people? How did that come to be the case, right?
Yeah, remember the white man's burden?
Right, yes.
So, but going back to specifically, what, you know, I'm Reformed, and I don't know if it's because I'm remaining too isolated in the Reformed orbit, but nearly all of the non-secular activists in the limelight who are pushing a social justice and critical race theory agenda are Reformed, or at least by profession. And, you know, there may be many, many Arminians also involved in it. But it is strange because the major tenets of the Reformed faith would seem to militate against these things, these right. unique heretical concepts of critical race theory and the social justice warrior movement.
Yeah, well, you know, I go back to something that I've heard said many times, and I think rightly so, by men like John MacArthur, who in his critique of the Young, Restless, and Reformed movement said that they were only Reformed insofar as they had adopted a Calvinistic idea about theology. The Reform really had not taken root to the degree that they were truly Reformed in every aspect of theology, right? Of theology proper. They take bits and pieces and put some things together. And I'd argue that a lot of folks kind of jumped on a bandwagon that was moving at the time. And now this idea around social justice is just the next bandwagon to jump on that they see advantage in, and they've moved on to. That's kind of how I see these kinds of things. When you go back and critique some of those folks who are you know, loud proponents advocating for social justice today, that there were some cracks in the armor that we could go back and take a closer look at that would give us some telltale signs of what was, you know, what was to come.
You know, I know you're not a mind reader, but I can only wonder how much of this is, especially when you're considering Reformed individuals and churches buying into this concept. Reformed entities borrowing from the Arminian concept of luring people into their numbers and appeasing the crowds around them by really imitating those things of the world that, at least right now, the world seems to delight in. And that is a non-reformed missiology. It's a non-reformed understanding of how God saves sinners to appeal to the desires and likes and tastes and lusts of the lost society around us in order to win them to Christ. That's not how the Bible explains how these things happen. That's why throughout the centuries of Christianity, there have always been martyrs.
No, I totally agree with you with regard to that. I think there's another thing at work as well, though. It really appeals the idea that perhaps you let me say it this way: perhaps someone who holds to the idea of CRT, especially if they're white, right? That they're the ones who get it. Right, that they're the ones who are enlightened, that they're the ones who have this knowledge about history and about culture and society and how we need to view people, right, but particularly black people, in this current cultural environment that we find ourselves in. So there's a sense of pride about that. There's kind of this intellectualism about knowing that story, that narrative, that begins to be a part of adopting this particular worldview, and then to add to it the sense of self-righteousness. This is no different than what we would see in Scripture from the Pharisees. The idea that, you know what, they wouldn't say it this way, that the work of Christ was insufficient. No one would say that. But at the end of the day, they're treating issues of race and ethnicity in that same light when they believe that people need to be involved in anti-racism for the rest of their lives. Those kinds of things are works-based righteousness, and they're arbitrary and never-ending, and all of it just to feel better about who you are, about what you know, and about being benevolent to those that you see as unable to achieve what you've achieved.
We have a listener, Joseph in South Central Pennsylvania, who wants to know, are there any new projects that you and Daryl are involved in, or perhaps even Josh Bice, that you have not yet announced today?
Oh, wow. Yeah, there are tons of them. I appreciate the question. Thanks so much for asking and for the opportunity to share that. Right now, in fact, I was just connected with Josh. We were working with the team. We're trying to put the finishing touches on a studio there on the campus there at G3. We'll have a video recording studio where we'll be able to produce all kinds of podcasts, video, teaching tools and resources. There's going to be a lot of stuff. The exciting thing for Daryl and me is again, with our partnership with G3, that studio will be co-branded, meaning it will be a G3 studio, but will also be a Just Thinking studio. And we are intending to take what's been incredibly successful by way of an audio podcast. We're about to transform into a video format for those who would appreciate seeing Daryl and I interact on a regular basis to see that interaction live. So they'll get a chance to witness that, and we've got a number of different things in the works with regard to that. So that's probably one of the biggest projects that we have going on right now. Daryl and I are working on our second book that will be published under Founders Press, and we're excited about that. Just Thinking About Ethnicity, that book is in the works, and we're quickly and fast and furiously trying to put that together. I don't have a date for that drop yet, but just be on the lookout for announcements as they come in. We'll be pushing that forward as well. So we've got a few things in the works.
Well, since you mentioned Founders, tomorrow my guest for the first hour is Tom Askell.
Oh, that's great.
The president of Founders Ministries, and we're going to be discussing his candidacy for president of the Southern Baptist Convention, something that's very controversial. It seems to have divided Reformed Christians on whether someone should even remain within the Southern Baptist Convention, and those who choose to remain as a light for truth.
Yep.
So it's one of those issues where since we are on earth and none of us have all truth, none of us are inerrant, we're always going to be bumping heads or disagreeing with our brethren over things as long as we're on this earth. But it will be, I'm looking forward to the interview. I've known Tom for many years, many decades, and looking forward to having him on again.
Well, Tom is a dear brother. We absolutely love him. It's been a joy to work with him on Founders Press, and as just a brother in Christ, a co-belligerent for the cause and sake of Christ. And while the church that I'm at Praiseville, we're no longer a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. We do wish Tom all the best in what he's doing. Excited to see his candidacy and hopeful about what will take place in the days to come.
Let's see. By the way, I just want to make sure that all of our more recent questioners know that you have won also a free copy of Why Are You Afraid by Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker. We have a question from Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County. And the question is, do you think that the tearing down of monuments is an enormous deal that we as Christians should be extremely concerned about? Or is it one of those things that is of far less importance that is going on in this battle for truth in our nation?
Yeah, well, I so appreciate the question. To begin with, man, the tearing down of monuments is illegal. we can start there. And so those who engage in that kind of behavior should face the full weight and breadth and depth of the law. The reality is, unfortunately, the current state of jurisprudence of even law enforcement, they're more fearful to put anyone behind bars or charge anyone with that kind of vandalism. With regard to believers in Christ, I think we stand for truth. We say what we need to say about the idea that that lawlessness, Scripture says lawlessness is sin. And so when we know that and see that, we call what we see as it is, and challenge those who are engaged in that behavior to repent. To repent, absolutely.
You know, and those actions are the vast majority of time, in fact, probably every time they're occurring, they are really one of the key sins involved in what they're doing, in addition to what you just mentioned. They're breaking the law by defiling private property or government property. But they're also, most of the time, if not all the time, involved in heinous slander against the individual who's being honored by the monument. They're distorting the sins involved in that individual that are publicly known anyway, and sometimes imputing sins to them that they didn't even commit at all. And you could only imagine if we were to go in the graveyards where some of these people who are destroying monuments, where their parents, their grandparents, or other loved ones are buried. Can you imagine if we were to go in those graveyards? And because we know about some sins of their family members, we're going to take a sledgehammer to the tombstones, the gravestones of these people. I mean, there's no difference at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's a backwards look. I mean, it's as if folks believe that someone is without sin. I keep in my mind, I keep thinking of, you know, the story where Christ, you know, meets the woman found in adultery, caught in adultery. And again, I know from a biblical standpoint, there's questions about, about the nature of the story, where it came from and all of that, and you need to have James White come on and talk to you about about that with regard to the variations of text. Textual variance, but the principle is still there. The idea that those who are without the first, that are without sin, are able therein to cast the first stone. Those kinds of things we need to think about. It goes back to our conversation earlier about total depravity. If you understand that your own sinfulness, you're not quick to make judgments about the sins of others. And when we have those kinds of lines of demarcation, that clarity of thought, going and desecrating a monument for the purpose of what? It accomplishes what at the end of the day? All it exposes is your own sinfulness, your own lawlessness, and your own need for repentance. That's really what it exposes at the end of the day.
Yeah, and these people have to really look at their own family tree, because it is doubtful that most of their parents or grandparents, and especially their great-great-grandparents, would have ever shared their views of race and gender, and therefore would they want their own relatives, if they were alive, to be terrorized and tormented and perhaps even physically harmed. Maybe some of them would, but... a lot of this is just nothing more than self-righteousness and a
absolutely
delusion of self-importance and thinking
absolutely.
Thinking more highly of oneself than one ought.
Absolutely.
But we have to go to our final break. It's going to be a lot more brief than the other breaks. If you have a question for Virgil, please send it in pretty quickly, because we're rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state. And country residents, don't go away. We'll be right back with Virgil Walker after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org. That's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundsen, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundsen, Edward Jones financial advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth Love Parent and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth Love Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His holy word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, It supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Welcome back. This is our final segment today with Virgil Walker. And I've loved every minute of the discussion. I'm looking forward to what we have left on the program. We're discussing the new lows of leftist protesters viewed through biblical lenses. If you have a question, send it in immediately because we're almost out of time. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. ChrisArnson@gmail.com. We have an anonymous listener who says that I am in the middle of disputes with people on both sides of the spectrum who are my brothers in Christ who actually agree with me theologically. There are those on one side of me that are almost acting as if we should be like the Amish and retreat from all political involvement and interaction. And we have those on the other side who seem to make politics too much a part of the gospel. I was wondering where you and Daryl are on this equation. And I know that there are many facets on the spectrum involving the church and politics, but I'm just curious how you would counsel me to behave in the midst of being on two battlefields.
Yeah, and that's a great question. Thanks so much for the question, Anonymous. I would encourage you, there's an episode that we did called The Doctrine of Elections. The Doctrine of Elections. It's kind of a play on the idea of the doctrines of grace, but we dealt with election cycles and that elections, for the most part, are all about worldview, right? Where we land, what happens in the voting booth is really the byproduct, the fruit of a particular worldview. And so while during, you'll be happy to know, given your situation, that during our I think it's 2.5 hour episode. We didn't bring up a political party, nor a politician. All of it was about biblical worldview and where we should stand. I think there are two ditches that people can fall into, and the questioner landed on those. One is the idea that government is the savior, right? So that we have a responsibility to save America. We have a responsibility to see others saved, right? And that the only way for that to take place is through some form of government intervention, to the point that we vote every 4 years and are excited if our candidate wins and devastated if our candidate loses. The reality is God is still on the throne regardless of the candidate that is actually in office, and we have to be mindful of that. The other side of the ditch that one can fall into is the idea that we duck our head in the sand. We absolutely do nothing. We stay with our four and no more. We attend church and quietly maintain a very quiet existence. And so I don't think we do that either. I think there's in a democratic republic like the one we have a responsibility to be engaged in the areas of politics that call for our engagement, understand what's happening in the world around us, be engaged in the bills that are happening. Now, with regard to the issue of abortion, it's going to come to your front doorstep rather than a federal issue. If Roe v. Wade is actually struck down, This will be a backyard issue. This will now be an issue that goes to the states, and you'll need to advocate for life, right? Because biblically speaking, that's what we indeed are about and for. So I think there's a balance that can be struck. I don't know the particulars about the friends and where they're siding on those two issues. I do think there are some ditches. I think the ditch where people are seeing government as the solution, it needs to be informed by the Bible, by a biblical worldview, bringing the gospel into conflict with culture in those areas where there's opportunities. So,
well, Daryl, I'd like you to have several minutes to really summarize what you most want to have etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Oh, brother, the most important thing, Paul, you know, as he's writing the church at Corinth, says that there's one thing of greatest importance, and that is the life, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that God came in the form of a human being, that he lived a perfect life, died a death he did not deserve as a result of sin that was in the world, and he sacrificed his life as a ransom for ours, that if we would but repent of our sin and place our full faith in Jesus Christ, we would indeed experience and have eternal life when what we actually deserve is separation from God and hell forever for our sins against a holy God. But in his kindness, in his goodness, and his mercy, he sends his son as a sacrifice. He who again lives that perfect life, dies the death that we rightly deserve, as prisoners, right? As enemies of God, that we would but repent of our sin, place our faith in him, we would indeed have eternal life. My hope would be anyone who had the opportunity to listen today, if they have not already made a decision to follow Christ, that given the gift that is afforded you even in this moment, today is the day of salvation, that you would repent and place your full faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen. And I have seen you and Daryl speak at several churches outside of the G3 conferences. How available are you, either both together or individually, to be invited to a church, to a school, to a civic organization to speak?
Yeah, we're open to that always. And we love the opportunity to come and really unpack issues around social justice and CRT. But also just remember, we are expositors and theologians. And so we love just cracking open scripture and diving into the truths of the Word of God as well. And so, yeah, we're more than happy to do that, open to do that. You can reach out to me and or Daryl via any social media outlets, Twitter, Facebook, IG, or you can email me at vwalker@g3min.org, vwalker@g3min.org. I'm happy to take those and we'll consider each of those as they come through.
And tell Daryl that he's always welcome to my home. I'd like to serve him a nice, delicious soul food meal. I
will let him know you said that.
I can't understand his disdain, because there's a lot of elements that are under that category, including fried chicken and catfish. I mean, how could you hate those things?
I'm with you on this one, Chris.
Well, I also want to remind everybody that if you are a man in ministry leadership, whether you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, and if you're a man, that this is a men's only event, well, you are invited to the next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon for Men in Ministry Leadership, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring, for the very first time as my keynote speaker at my pastor's luncheons, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. I've had James involved in many events and debates that I've organized, but he has never yet, until now, been my pastor's luncheon speaker. So I am so thrilled about that.
That's gonna be great. That's gonna be great.
And also, every man that goes there leaves with a heavy sack of free, brand new books, personally selected by me, donated by major publishers in both the United States and the United Kingdom. And everything is free of charge, and nothing is sold there. There's no hidden agenda, no ulterior motive. It's all because my blessed, precious late wife, Julie, back in the 1990s, knowing that I worked in the radio industry and had so many friends that are pastors, she wanted me to treat the pastors to an annual lunch where they were served food and able to have fun and fellowship and hear a great speaker and receive free books. And it's all because of my sweet late wife that I'm doing this now in her honor and memory and in tribute to her, since she has gone home to be with the Lord for over 12 years ago. And so I continue this going, and I hope that you can join us Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Lloydsville, Pennsylvania. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Thank you so much, Virgil Walker, for doing such an extraordinary job today, as I knew you would. I want to thank everybody.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank everybody for listening, especially those who took the time to write questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.